Here we are with Ilya Poulousoukin, the co-founder of the Near Blockchain. Ilya, it's so great to have you on the Defiant podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So I wanted to have you on because Near has been on a tear recently. So we did a story on how it's surpassed Ethereum and Bitcoin in terms of active addresses and transactions. And it was, you know, there was a spike in September and it's had like a sustained increase on those key metrics since. So I thought it was a good time to take a look at Near. So before we dig into the Near blockchain itself and, you know, all the different drivers for its activity, I'd love to just start with getting to know you better. Like what's your story? What got you to founding Near? And yeah, what was kind of the inspiration behind starting the Near blockchain?
My original background is actually in machine learning. I was kind of worked across a variety of applications, and my last kind of pre-startup gig was at Google Research, where I led a team that was building question answering, machine translation models. And I actually am co-author on the paper that introduced transformers, which is a T in the GPT. And I left to partner up with Alex Kirinov, Near's co-founder. And Near was originally an AI company. So we were Near AI. And we were trying to teach machines to code. So we were trying to do what now you can see is possible with ChatGPT, but it was in 2017. Really trying to push the limit of what you can do with AI. Now, we did not have hundreds of millions of dollars for compute back then, and so we were trying to be smarter by collecting more training data. And so we engaged a lot of students around the world to work with us to write programs, to write descriptions, correct programs. And we faced a very interesting challenge, which is if you're working with students across China, Eastern Europe, and other places, is that it's really hard to pay them because some of them don't have bank accounts. There's monetary control around moving dollars. And kind of that started the journey of exploring blockchain because that's a global payment system, right? It should solve that. But, and this was 2018, neither Bitcoin nor Ethereum would really satisfy the needs we have. I think even back then, the fees on Ethereum would be higher than how much we paid people. And so that was a very kind of challenge where like we have a use case, we want to use it for our own needs, but the technology is not matching that. And being, you know, distributed systems background, and Alex, actually, his previous job was at Single Store, which is a sharded database company. We approached this kind of, can we design a system that is indeed, would be a global payment network, as well as kind of programmable environment where you can build applications like this and make it easy to use, easy to build on and scale to massive demand. And that kind of how we pivoted from Near AI to Near Protocol, pretty much launching into this journey with Near.
That's so interesting that you started Near as an AI company and then pivoted when you saw this real use case for a payment network. When you pivoted to start the Near blockchain, the idea was to have it be cheaper, so you'd be able to actually, you know, send payments globally without paying huge fees. You said scalable. So how does Near work to achieve these things?
Yeah, so Near's design was kind of few things in mind. So one is that there's no way for any single computer to process all of the transactions. That's just not realistic. It doesn't matter how many cores you put, how much memory you put, and how much bandwidth you connect. And so if you assume that, then you're kind of in this world of parallel computing, right? Where you have lots of computation that happens in parallel on different machines. And you either way need to make sure that all of this is kind of working together, synchronized, and is safe. And so the approach kind of in traditional computing is called sharding. And so we're doing kind of the same approach of sharding, but applied to the blockchain. Now, what this practically means is that actually every single account on Near is actually its own roll-up chain or shard. And what we do is we make sure that neither users nor developers need to know about that. And we kind of package them into kind of physical computation units, right, that are actually allocated to specific computers so that we don't need to have, you know, let's say we have 50 million accounts, we don't need to have 50 million computers, right? We only need to have, for example, a few hundred. So the kind of core idea is that because of this, you can continue scaling, right? As you have more accounts, more applications on the chain, you know, billions potentially, you can have kind of reallocation of resources specifically for the needs of the kind of that exists right now. And users and developers don't need to think about it. And this is, again, very similar to how traditional web works, where when you watch a Netflix video, right, you're not thinking about, hey, oh, I need to pay more actually because other people are watching the same video, right? Netflix just like provisions that video closer to your, in your, to the servers near you. And so that kind of like elasticity is built in into the Near protocol. And so that's kind of designed from the start to handle, you know, billions of users, millions of applications. And then on the other side is really about making kind of the experience itself to be kind of as uniform and systematic and easy to use as possible, right? So we build a lot around account abstraction. We have kind of abstracted the blockchain and making it easy for new users and kind of developers who are not as familiar with blockchain to build and use this.
This concept of each account being its own shard, can you explain that further? How does each account communicate with each other if they're all in these, what I understand are just like mini blockchains?
Mini blockchains, yeah, exactly. So the idea is if you assume this parallel computation, you need to have this cross kind of chain communication, mm-hmm. right? So, and we see this right now happening with rollups where now we have a lot of rollups and now you need cross rollup communication and kind of figuring that complexity out. And so what Near design has is this idea that if we assume everything is separate chain, then we just need to make the cross-chain communication as easy and as fast as possible. And so every, let's say I'm sending you some Near, what happens is it kind of in first block subtracts from my balance and then arrives to the shard where, to your shard and adds to your balance in the next block, mm-hmm. right? So every communication between two contracts is a message between two chains, but it always arrives kind of within the next block. And then we optimize the block time to be 1 second. So this is actually a very kind of fast experience. And so what this allows to do is to have this kind of continuous communication between all the accounts that's happening without needing to think about all the details, routing, rollbacks, et cetera, on the kind of for the developers who are building this.
And what does the consensus mechanism look like? Like, how are these blocks agreed on?
So, I mean, at the core, it's a BFT consensus. And the kind of the innovation there is just we have done a lot of pipelining. So where normally something like Tendermint proposes a block and then distributes it, waits for everybody to approve it, distributes approvals, waits for kind of confirmations on that. We, as soon as we produce a block, we send it out to other validators. And then the next validator that produces kind of part of the block, collects approvals for the previous block, puts them into the next block. And so what this means is that within a second, you have confirmation that others have seen it. And then within 2 seconds, you have BFT finality. And so that kind of allows to have like way quicker communication without additional back and forth in the network.
And how does the NEAR token play a role here?
So NEAR token plays different roles across the whole ecosystem. It is a proof of stake network. And so the validators, kind of the ones that are producing blocks, validating the network, and sending approvals for the consensus, as well as kind of like embedded data availability into this whole system, they all are staking NEAR and for economic security and kind of putting it at stake for not doing malicious activity. The transactions themselves are paying gas in NEAR, which is 70% of that gas is burned and 30% is allocated to the smart contracts, which have been used in those transactions, pretty much creating some economic model for developers for building highly used smart contracts. And we also have a storage staking model, which allows to have kind of more fixed storage capacity of the network to prevent storage explosion. So kind of a very known problem in Ethereum that storage is continuously growing and the kind of storage's costs are highly underpriced because you pay them once, but then all the validators need to store the data forever. So NEAR, you lock NEAR for storing data. And if you release data, you unlock NEAR back. So this allows to have a kind of more maintainable system, like storage system, as well as it's a kind of utilizes NEAR in a very direct way.
Awesome. Super interesting. And then in terms of the number of validators and the requirements to participate in the network, how does it work for NEAR?
So because of the sharding model, what it means is that the network itself is kind of partitioned, like physically then partitioned into smaller parts. Mm-hmm. So right now NEAR runs, for example, four physical shards, right? So every account is a shard, but it's a logical shard. And then we group them into actual physical shards. For example, we have Aurora Smart Contract, which is an EVM kind of emulator that runs as a smart contract on NEAR. So that contract has its own shard, right? It got allocated its own shard because it gets a lot of usage. And so it needs that whole capacity of the physical shard.
Just to understand what you mean by physical shard.
Yeah, so physical means there's actual computers that are doing computation versus logical, kind of logical is every account is logical shard, but then they mapped into actual physical computers, right?
Oh, okay.
So there's only right now for real shards, mm-hmm. meaning and each shard has 50, for example, validators that are validating it. Mm. So kind of total 200 validators for shard plus another 100 for kind of block producers for the overall kind of synchronization consensus. And so the one of those shards, so one set of 50 machines are just allocated to process Aurora transactions. And then the rest of 50 million kind of logical shards, 50 million accounts are split evenly across three shards. And actually we have a upgrade coming that will add extra shard to increase capacity as network is continuously growing in usage.
Is there a limit to how many logical shards fit in each physical shard?
There's no limit. The mostly limit is around like capacity of the nodes, right? So nodes right now kind of have, you know, some amount of hard drive requirements. And so how much will fit depends on less actually on number of accounts and more on like if, for example, one of the applications uses a lot of space, right? Mm. That takes a lot more hard drive. And there's some optimizations that are ongoing to actually reduce size of each shard kind of hard drive requirements. But yeah, so this kind of means, I mean, potentially there can be a lot of the accounts. I mean, again, right now there's 10 million plus, but it's more the account, the normal user accounts are small. It's more about the smart, like large smart contracts, right? Mm. Use, for example, stablecoin, Sweatcoin, Kai Ching, like those big apps that use a lot more capacity in the network.
Got it. And then if you want to be a node of the Near, or if you want to support a node of the Near blockchain, how do you, like, does it matter which shard you are supporting, or how does it work? Like, do you enter into some kind of queue and you're allocated into a shard, or how do you organize that?
Yeah, so you actually are, you're just joining to be a validator, and then you're every 12 hours or every epoch, you're being assigned to different shards. So you're constantly being rotated between shards because that's part of the security model where there's no way to kind of, you know, collude with other validators to actually take over one shard. And we actually have some more work on the kind of security of this with what we call phase two in progress, where we're adding stateless validation, where we'll actually have a lot more nodes that are able to validate each shard even without needing to have the full state of that shard. And this is very kind of in line with overall kind of end game of that being outlined, for example, by Vitalik. But generally, this would also allow us to increase number of validators in the network and kind of secure each shard a lot more without needing to have high requirements for those nodes.
Right now, is there a minimum of Near required to stake?
Yes, there's a 20,000 Near minimum right now. And so the phase two, one of the things that will also lower that requirement as well, because it will increase number of kind of validator slots per shard, as well as we'll be able to continue increasing the number of shards easily.
Need funding for your blockchain idea? The Stellar Community Fund is funding projects with up to $100,000 in XLM per project to build on the Stellar network. To get started, head over to communityfund.stellar.org and make a submission.
Near at about $2, that's around $40,000 to stake. So do you, are there similar protocols as in Ethereum where, you know, you're able to stake a fraction of that, and then another, you know, like these liquid staking protocols?
Delegation, yeah. Yeah, so Near has the structure itself allows the validator to run out of a smart contract. And so we have standard staking smart contracts that accept delegations. So any, pretty much, I think almost 100% of validators run out of this kind of default smart contract. And then a few have customized, which allows to accept delegations, pay out rewards, and kind of do other interesting things. And on top of this, we also have liquid staking. I think two or three different liquid staking providers that use kind of to delegate to multiple validators in the network. So they kind of actually serve as a way to distribute the stake more evenly between the network or in the network.
Oh, interesting. It's been really interesting to see how liquid staking has become just a very core primitive or use case wherever there's proof of stake. Like it's definitely one of the biggest, you know, the biggest protocols on Ethereum are liquid staking protocols, biggest protocols on Solana. In Near, are they having as much traction as on other chains?
Yeah, I mean, definitely on like amount of Near locked, I think Metapool and Linear are at the top of the TVL. And I think the idea of liquid staking on Near originates from like 2020. Hmm. So yeah, it's been a pretty kind of pretty fundamental part of the ecosystem from start.
Awesome. And then speaking about TVL and dApps and activity, wanted to chat about, you know, the recent pickup in activity on Near. So we reported that, like I said earlier, number of active addresses, number of transactions have really skyrocketed this year. I saw that there are two main dApps that are driving this, Sweatcoin and is it Kaika now? I don't know how you pronounce
it. Kaiching,
yeah. So yeah, wanted to ask you about this increase in activity, you know, what use cases you're seeing that are taking off, like what's your take here?
Yeah, so Near kind of, as I said, being the goal and design has focused on how do we bridge this technology to consumer. And so within that, right, obviously it needs to be sub cent. So we're 0.1 cent or lower on transaction fees. 1 second blocks, which it means is like very interactive. And then we've worked a lot on the account model where users can onboard without, you know, seeing 0x, without installing kind of Chrome extensions, mm-hmm. without funding their account to start using the wallet, right? So all of that kind of enables a very powerful onboarding for new users. And so within that was then strategy of finding applications which are already have millions of users and are interested in bringing these users to the Web3. And so Sweatcoin was first, and Kaiching was the other one we partnered with, where they have, so Sweatcoin, I think, just crossed 150 million installs, right? They have their app, fitness app, has over 10 million monthly actives. And with that, they're offering them a way to bridge into crypto, kind of earn a cryptocurrency and then interact with other blockchain applications through this cryptocurrency. And what Near offers is extremely easy way to onboard those users, way for them to start interacting with blockchain without having a gas token through meta transactions, and then kind of opens up to the ecosystem of all the DeFi as well as NFT and other apps in the ecosystem. Similar thing happened with Kaiching, which actually they were using Stripe, and which has really high fees. And so they transitioned to use Near, which, you know, saves them, you know, going from 30 cents and 2.7% to fraction of a cent, 0.1 of a cent on transaction fees, which is like extremely, you know, valuable on millions of users and millions of transactions they're making. And so this is just really examples of actually bringing consumer users who are not even fully aware that they're using blockchain and really approaching this to like bring blockchain as a tool for this mass adoption apps. And so Near kind of at forefront, right? We have, you know, on some days we have top three apps in Web3, right, on Near by daily active users. Kind of powering that because of kind of technology, low fees, as well as kind of user experience that we developed. And so these are the consumer apps, so they don't drive as much TVL. This is not people who have millions of dollars to slash around and kind of earn yield, but this is, you know, individual users, you know, anecdotal users, you know, grandparents of even some crypto people who are, or parents of some crypto people who are using it, and like find out that they're using something on Near later, kind of from that experience, right? And so that's part of our strategy is actually like, I mean, we outlined that we want to bring the blockchain and open web to billions of users. And this is a way to do that. It's not really like get everybody to install MetaMask, is really to connect to applications which have already millions of users and grow really quickly, and then offer really valuable things to those users and kind of connect them to the Web3 ecosystem through these experiences.
This is super interesting and such a different approach from other blockchains. because, yeah, it means that you have more users, but because of the kinds of applications, a smaller amount of total value locked than other chains. Like DeFi Llama shows you have about 60 million in TVL compared with Ethereum's around 20 plus billion. But at the same time, as you said, Near dApps are at the top of the ranking in terms of actual users. So yeah, very interesting dichotomy and the way to grow of I understood it's going out to existing applications and convincing them to come over to Near. So what are some of the benefits for like Web2 applications? Like why is it attractive for them to use a blockchain and also what are you looking for, like which applications would be ideal to bring over to Near? Like what kinds of characteristics are you looking for?
For sure, yeah. So the value for these applications is pretty straightforward. It is usually they already have millions of users. They have some business model, and this business model has in some form like low margin because of transaction fees, you know, either in traditional web way, right? Like, you know, there's a pretty sophisticated transaction fees in web as well, not just in Web3, or because of just like creating the marketplace around their assets, right, is complicated. So Sweatcoin is a really good example of they kind of need to manually, like they had a business before Web3. Mm-hmm. They were offering people the discounts that they can buy with their Sweat kind of loyalty points. And it was a pretty kind of complicated for them. Like they needed to scale that business because it was very manual, right? Mm-hmm. You need to find partners. You need to convince them to come in on the platform to offer specific discounts versus if you turn Sweat points into Sweat coins, you actually right away get this marketplace where people can start using it for other, you know, products and assets easily, right? So this is kind of the really good examples of transition of taking your existing loyalty points or existing financial transactions and turning them, kind of leveraging Web3 to scale it and have like higher margin or kind of more scalable business. And we've seen that kind of across other industries as well, like gaming is doing that as well as kind of consumer products. And we have startups in various kind of spaces like that. And so I think the kind of strategy there for us have been, you know, how do we attract the applications with either already existing huge user bases or really kind of clear way to grow their user base and then leverage blockchain to really power their business model in kind of this innovative way that blockchain offers.
So Sweatcoin gives you points for doing like physical activity?
Yes.
And do you track that with like an Apple Watch kind of or like?
Yeah, they use signal from your phone if you have Apple Watch, and then they have a pretty sophisticated machine learning model that is analyzing kind of the activity. And there's a lot of people who are trying to trick them, they're kind of continuously finding those. I think the one of the most sophisticated, I mean, interesting ways is like where they put the phone on a dog and let it run around and things like that. So they all like find all of these examples where people were trying to trick it. And so they're able to kind of identify it pretty accurately.
And then the second very popular dApp on Near is Kitechains. And what's that about?
Yeah, so Kitechain is a combination of products where users are able to interact directly from their home screen, from their lock screen on Android phones with various products. So think of it as, you know, there's everything from content to kind of fashion, e-commerce products to games directly on your home screen. And you earn from that kind of also loyalty points. And then you're able to spend them actually directly in the retailers. So in Singapore, for example, you're able to directly pay with the Kitechain app for coffee or for other products in retail. And so the idea is to kind of create an economy there where people are kind of interacting with various content and products and then are able to spend that in various kind of both online and offline retail and consumer interactions. And so like all of those transactions are pretty much powered on Near. And then there's also ways to on-ramp and off-ramp around that, which kind of probably makes Kitechain one of the also just kind of biggest, like, and because KaiKai is actually a stable coin, like one of the bigger stable coins as well by number of active users.
Nice. Okay, so would you say that your focus right now, because of how directly it translates to crypto, is these user apps with loyalty points and trying to get those to come over to Near?
Yeah, so from our perspective, I mean, we are like Near is an infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and kind of the ecosystem around that. And so the way we see this is these apps are the ones who are bringing users and kind of and interactions. And then on Near side, one of the things that we're working toward is continuously offering more services to the users, to Near account kind of holders, right? And so one of the things we're going to be launching end of Q1 is this idea that you can actually use applications on other chains if you have a Near account. So you'll be able to send transactions on Ethereum, on Layer 2s, on Solana, and even on Bitcoin from a Near account. And what this means is, now Kitechain users, Sweatcoin users, as well as all the other users of Near apps are also users of all the other blockchains, right? They're able to interact with apps on other blockchains kind of in as if they were on the same chain. And so what this kind of starts to do is like really abstract the blockchains. So we call it chain abstraction. It really kind of makes it more about the user using whatever the apps they want in Web3 ecosystem independently of whatever the infrastructure is powering that. And so from our perspective, like that is kind of overall long-term vision is kind of users holding their self-custodial account. That self-custodial account really powers their activity across all of Web2 and Web3, right? It has kind of, you know, their data, their assets, their ability to participate in governance across the whole ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Near is powering that through kind of different layers from layer one, account abstraction, this account aggregation we're working on, as well as other products we're working on in the ecosystem.
Are you using existing bridging mechanisms to do this, or do you have your own bridge or?
Yeah, so the way it works, actually, the Near network itself will become a way to sign transactions on other chains. And so what this allows to do is the Near account, in a way, has, we call them remote accounts. Like, in think of it as like when you sign into Coinbase, right, you have addresses on other chains, right? You have a Coinbase account, but you have addresses on different chains. So imagine that Coinbase account was self-custodial, and you just had those addresses on other chains with which you can use applications, not just kind of deposit, but actually use applications. Mm. So that's the idea. Now, there will be bridging used under the hood to move assets, right, to balance assets, etc. But you don't actually need to bridge assets most of the time, like right now we're bridging assets because kind of we want to, you know, transfer, for example, OP to NEAR to swap it for NEAR. But the reality is you can actually swap OP to NEAR without bridging. You can just send OP to an address on Optimism, mm-hmm. and you can receive NEAR on your NEAR address. And so the multi-chain kind of applications will actually change. They will not need to do as much bridging in general. Mm. And so you only will need bridging for some of the rebalancing that, like, when you need, like, move stable coins to rebalance them and other things like that. So I call it unbridging, where we actually, like, want to go away from having, like, we want to keep the native assets where they have been issued, mm-hmm. and then we want to use them there. So, for example, Bitcoin, right, you cannot normally bridge it. So you'll just have an address on Bitcoin which receives them, which is controlled by a NEAR account, right? So this NEAR account can send a message to then withdraw it. But this message is just a Bitcoin transaction that's signed by the whole NEAR validator network. So that's kind of the idea. It's like it's a little bit different from traditional bridging system. And instead, it's more akin to what usually exchanges do, but in a fully decentralized kind of non-custodial way.
Ether.fi is a non-custodial liquid staking protocol focused on providing the most secure path to maximizing rewards in the Ethereum staking ecosystem. Your ETH can be staked and then restaked to earn you the best rewards, all while maintaining composability for DeFi applications. Not your keys, not your coins. So it would be like I open an account on NEAR and then immediately that account will control accounts on other layer ones.
And layer twos,
and then I'll be able to use those accounts on other chains without necessarily having to bridge. But how do you get assets there to the other blockchain without bridging? That I still don't get it. Like if I have a NEAR account with NEAR tokens, but I want to use, I don't know, Bitcoin on Bitcoin, how do I kind of swap NEAR for Bitcoin and use it there?
Yeah. So that, I mean, you can swap, right? Like, let's say you just want to buy a few Bitcoins for NEAR. That's just a swap, mm-hmm. right? You send NEAR to a NEAR account, the swap NEAR application, and that swap NEAR application signs a Bitcoin transaction from its own address to send you Bitcoin.
Okay.
So that's just like a multi-chain swap, right? The more interesting is where you have NEAR account and some NEAR, and you want to buy an NFT on Solana, right? Mm-hmm. And so what happens here, actually, there will be a quote-unquote relayer that you will send NEAR on NEAR network, NEAR token on NEAR network, and that the relayer will send a Solana transaction that to pay Solana to buy the NFT for you, and you will receive it on Solana, on your Solana address that is mapped to your NEAR account. So the idea is there will be kind of intent executors pretty much that will do things on your behalf on other chains.
Okay, so there will be these executors, I imagine, incentivized with NEAR tokens to do these transactions?
Exactly. Well, you're paying them to do this, right? So you pay them on NEAR to do that, yeah.
Right. Super interesting. When will this launch?
So we have this on testnet, mm-hmm. and the mainnet is planned for end of March.
Okay. Nice. Okay, so we'll be keeping a track on that. Sounds super interesting. And then, moving forward, how do you, is the plan to keep growing as you have by attracting existing apps on NEAR? And if so, is there like a specific kind of geography that you're targeting, or are you just like going out globally, like searching for these apps? And also, is there what about just like building directly on NEAR? Like what kind of how to incentivize developers to just come to NEAR first instead of like going out and getting apps to come there?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a few questions there. So on the kind of broader people building on Near, I mean, there's few different things that are relevant there. One is, I mean, Near in general has a really good developer stack, which allows people to kind of build smart contracts in Rust and JavaScript, as well as you can write Solidity on Aurora. We also have kind of not just smart contract tooling. We also have middleware, which allows to index data from the blockchain. And then the front end layer, decentralized front end layer, which allows to build kind of really easily kind of application front ends that connect to smart contracts. And again, all of those pieces are like the front ends work not just with Near smart contracts, but also with other chain smart contracts. But obviously for Near smart contracts, they work in a more integrated way. And so that allows for developers to really quickly kind of iterate and launch new applications just because of like this developer tooling is kind of been built and kind of battle tested already. And in turn as well, we have different things to kind of help developers and founders to be successful in the ecosystem across kind of a variety of materials on how to kind of build, but also how to grow your startup, how to raise money, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so kind of a bunch of efforts going into that and, you know, inviting obviously all the folks who are interested in building on the network that, you know, can scale to millions of users and supports biggest applications in Web3 to build there. And kind of with this account aggregation, one of the things we addressing is this challenge of the TVL, right? So I think one of the things that people felt is, oh, there's not enough TVL, which means there's not enough liquidity. And so it's kind of challenging to do some things on Near. And so we're addressing that because now if you build on Near, your Near smart contracts can actually use TVL of all the other chains, right?
Oh, interesting.
In kind of a very easy way. And so we kind of going away from this, like, you know, you build here and you only have access to this ecosystem, to this idea that actually you build on Near and you have access to all of the Web3 ecosystem very easily. And so like that's a very unique enabler for developers now to build kind of multi-chain apps which don't feel multi-chain. And this is based on this, as I said originally, the Near is a multi-chain chain in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. Every single account is already a chain. And so a lot of the same patterns we already have built on Near to work in this kind of multi-chain way, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is also why we've been working more with layer twos recently, offering them data availability on Near and also working on some fast finality for them, because for us, layer twos is just more rollups that kind of exist in this, you know, space that you can connect to in the Near ecosystem, kind of not that different from other accounts on Near that already exist there. Maybe, you know, executes them a little bit slower, but kind of all of the tooling that Near has built is like designed for this highly multi-chain world, that all of the connectivity kind of needs to be abstracted out for the user and developer to not really worry about it. And so for us, kind of, as I said, the chain abstraction is like a core primitive that we've been developing ourselves and now offering for everybody else. And it also in turn means that developers who want to build kind of this multi-chain apps on Near, they have all the tooling to do that easily.
But will it be as seamless and efficient to, for example, build a DEX or a DeFi application on Near using this, you know, cross-chain mechanism than to build directly on a chain that, that has more liquidity? Because, you know, I imagine that even, you know, as good as this mechanism works, like it will still, you know, there will still be some friction. You'll have to pay these relayers. Like there will be some fees involved, which maybe they're competitive versus with, you know, other layer one fees to transact. But I guess, like, do you really think that this new mechanism will make building DeFi dApps on Near as efficient as it is, you know, just building directly on a layer one with higher TVL?
Yeah, I do think so. And it's also will kind of unlock them to be accessing, again, not just one chain, but all the chains, right? So the specific example we have is Orderly, which is a order book DEX where order book is off chain, but it settles matches on chain every second. So in a way, it's also a roll up that's kind of tightly connected to Near. So it's non-custodial, but it has all the same properties of a centralized exchange, which is, you know, millisecond trade time and free transaction posting, and you only pay when you have a match. And so what was this account aggregation we enable now is that you can deposit funds on all the layer ones into this order book trade and then withdraw on all the layer ones. So it actually becomes very similar to centralized exchange experience, but fully non-custodial. And you pay literally the deposit fees or end withdrawal fees. So very, pretty much the same as you would do on centralized exchange, except they mark up, obviously, the fees right now. So you'd pay like the actual layer one or layer two fees, and then you will pay for the match, which is just a standard kind of exchange fee. And so that's an example of building like a proper experience, right, which is better than centralized exchange. It actually will be cheaper than centralized exchange. It will have the same trade time experience, and it works with all the kind of layer ones and layer twos that support account aggregation. And so that's just an example of application you'll be able to build. And obviously there'll be a lot more interesting things like multi-chain vaults, for example, and other things. So nice. Yes, I do think it will be pretty kind of unique value prop that enables something that you can tap in into all of the liquidity on all the chains pretty straightforwardly.
Super interesting. So Orderly, is this a DEX that's in kind of beta right now?
So Orderly already been live, but it's only on Near. And I mean, they're launching multi-chain, but because account aggregation is not yet there, like they kind of launched a different version. Mm-hmm. But with account aggregation, you'll be able to do this kind of deposit into a single order book from all chains.
Super interesting. Okay, so we'll be looking out for that around March and see how it develops and how it works. So, you know, there's been this just like proliferation of layer ones in the previous cycle. Now there's like I don't know how many layer twos. So it definitely seems like we're going into just like a multi-chain, multi-L1, multi-L2 world. And especially because of how you've architected Near, I'm interested to hear your take on what the future looks like for blockchains. I mean, do you think that there's room for all these different chains? Do you think that activity will consolidate in a handful of them, or will it be by use case? I don't know. There's like all these different kind of schools of thought on how things will go. So yeah, what's your take on the future?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And obviously, I mean, things are evolving with technology evolving constantly. I think the kind of, from our perspective, the core idea is that I don't think users should need to know which chain is kind of application logic runs on. It's similar as when you are using a web app or a mobile app, you don't really think about where the server runs. Is it like on dedicated hardware or in a cloud? Is it Google Cloud or Amazon Cloud? Like, you don't need to think about that. You just use your application. And so I think we need to get to that level where we just use applications, we log in with our kind of account, and we have all of our information with us, and we can kind of leverage any application out there easily. And so that's kind of what we're working on to really enable that. And with that, it would mean that there will be a bunch of probably like application-specific rollups, which are kind of dedicated to a specific function, like the Orderly example I told you. It's a very specific rollup. It's an order book, and it delivers like a very specific experience. But in turn, it, you know, does it really well and kind of can deliver like a very much non-custodial but experience that you would usually get from a centralized exchange. And then there'll be, you know, a number of kind of more generic platforms which have a cluster, a like constellation of applications, right, that are like highly connected and have like kind of good interactivity within them. And obviously there will be like some set of more generic platforms that do scale. So Near is a good example of something that, you know, can continue scaling with kind of billions of users, and that offers like a more generic platform that anybody can use, but it has its own trade-off versus running a rollup, where, you know, rollup, you need to maintain everything yourself. You kind of need to run sequencer, or you can use Near, which is pretty much a shared sequencer, shared data availability, all sharded, and you have execution kind of bundled in. So you have kind of this trade-off space that people can, well, now developers can choose, right? It's kind of similar to, you know, should I run in the cloud with replication, or should I run my own server myself? And then, you know, there's like a few other options in between. And as a user, you don't need to know about any of that, right? You just use the application. And, you know, some applications may be like, you know, server stops running, but you are able to exit because it's still a rollup and all the data availability is there. Mm-hmm. And also kind of, you know, there's a way to have an exit from it. So that's kind of how I envisioned this.
So it'll be more of a decision for developers on what, you know, what they're looking for. And then the user will just pick whatever app they want to use.
Exactly. They will not even know if it's like runs on layer two, layer one, it's a custom application rollup, or like it runs in their browser. They don't even know about it, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. So in terms of how, you know, how Near is built, does it compare a bit with Cosmos? I mean, that's kind of what it reminds me of when you're talking about, you know, there's kind of this the shared security and the like different chains. Is it similar to that?
I mean, obviously it's all in the same kind of like to scale, you need parallelization, right? So Cosmos took an approach where, okay, everybody gets to run their own layer one, and then now they're adding some shared security. Mm-hmm. What we say is we have a shared pool of validators, right, that you as application developer don't need to think about, right? You never think about it. And they get assigned to you dynamically. Like you never control that, right? Mm-hmm. So in a way, like if you know, Cosmos is more like, here's a toolkit to build your own data center. And, you know, here's shovels, and here is like, you know, here's a power cord that you can connect. And we're more like Amazon Cloud, right? Like, hey, all the computers are already there. You just click a button, it's launched, and you don't need to think about like that you will run out of compute because it'll scale. And there will be more data centers built for you because the ecosystem knows that there's more capacity coming.
Okay, so I guess like in your version of the future, like there's room for all of these different ways to build chains. I mean, do you think there will be demand by developers because, you know, they'll have different priorities, they'll choose different trade-offs, and so, you know, there will be room for Cosmos, Ethereum, Solana, Near. There will be applications on top of all of these layer one blockchains, on top of layer twos, and then the end user will have, you know, will only care about what different dApps they're using, and, you know, won't care about what chains they're built on.
Exactly, yeah. And that's kind of what the vision we're trying to really build forward to is this chain abstraction.
Yeah, makes sense. And then would you see Near specializing in any use case, like what we were talking about before, these like extremely just like massive like user, like consumer applications with loyalty points? You see Near kind of specializing in that space, or would you want it to move to many different other use cases as well, like in terms of focus, like where do you think it's best suited for?
So, I mean, in general, you can build anything, right? And so we have a number of financial applications. We have a, an NFT kind of marketplaces and our art collectors and art, like, and photographers who are participating in that economy. So I think from that perspective, it is a generic platform that people are using in a variety of ways. We also have decentralized social, with near social, kind of really tying together a lot of those pieces, kind of creating reputation on chain. The way I think we're going to bring millions and ideally billions of users will be through set of payments and loyalty, just because that's how you can onboard people in like a most direct way. And so for us, given our vision of bringing billions of users and kind of connecting them through the Web3 ecosystem, this is like a clear path to do that. Like, I don't think any other, like, you know, applications, even social right now, is actually bringing this kind of numbers, right, as we see. Mm. And so this is a clear path to actually bringing kind of mainstream user into the ecosystem. And so through that, they can access all the applications on Near and beyond Near going forward, right? And so, and then we'll see all these applications being built because they now can have access to those users.
So payments, loyalty points. So does that mean that should we see stable coins really thrive on Near? Like, would that be a goal for you, like, to have like the biggest stable coin be built on Near?
I think, I mean, we'll see that over time, yes. And again, like KaiKai, for example, is a stable coin, right, used inside KaiCheng, which is, you know, 2 or 3 million monthly active users stable coin. Mm-hmm. So it's not by the amount, but by the number of users.
Awesome. Okay. And then just to round up, what are the next, what's kind of the next milestone, or what are some of the next things that we should be looking out for with Near? So kind of abstraction or aggregation is one. What are some other things?
Yeah, so one of the things we launched at NearCon, which was about a month ago, was data availability. So this is just offering what Near blockchain already has for layer twos across Ethereum ecosystem, and really kind of allowing us to tie it together into this chain abstraction as well. And so kind of excited to see more folks launching with that. We're going to have kind of more announcements around it. And then the other piece, which we starting to expand to, is obviously on the AI side. And this was my background, but I'm really excited about the idea of kind of the ecosystem that's governed by AI. And this is from kind of one of the core challenges we've seen. I mean, it's a challenge of of humanity overall, but like with DAOs, we've seen that there's a principal agent problem where there's either no agent, and so like there's nothing gets done, or there's some selected people who actually run the DAO, but then it's becoming like a regular problem that those people have a very different incentives and motivation. And so I'm really excited in a transition where an AI model that's fully auditable, decentralized, is able to actually kind of act on behalf of the DAO and actually be the representation of the stakeholders of such DAO. And so kind of scaling that to the whole ecosystem, be kind of the AI governance of the ecosystem. So this is something that we kind of outlined the vision of, and we're starting to work on kind of across the stack, because you need a decentralized inference for that. You need data provenance. You need kind of a lot of pieces in the ecosystem to do that. So I did like a talk at NearCon about that for people who are interested, but that's like something we kind of going to continue making progress on in the ecosystem.
Wow. So you're integrating AI into Near governance.
Yes.
I know that we're coming to the end of the hour and that you gave a talk on this, but it's so interesting. Like, can you just like give me go a bit deeper into that? Like how will it work? What's the benefit of having an AI run governance?
Yeah, so the kind of the benefit is next that right now you have, you know, a set of people mm-hmm. who are either like you have a large set of people and then they don't vote, right? They're like voting participation is very low. Mm-hmm. We also have a kind of challenge, like, you know, is it stake based or like person based, but then there are challenges around that. And so you have a kind of like usually you use delegation. So you delegate to a subset of kind of participants in the DAO. And most often we see, you know, that like kind of generally in humanity, right? Like when we elect some representatives, they have they don't ideally represent people who elected them, right? They have their own their own set of things that they want to do, right? That may or may not fully, like it usually doesn't fully align and sometimes very misaligned from the people who elected them. So this is so-called principal agent problem. And with AI, what we're trying to do is to address it. And so kind of AI becoming a decision maker that can perfectly represent the stakeholders in it. Now, this is like a long-term goal. The shorter-term goal is something that becomes more of an assistant, right? Where it can explain the proposals given the context that you have. It can provide summarization for all the discussions that happened, right? Like, for example, Cosmos had a lot of discussion around their recent proposal. Like, if I'm new to this and I'm trying to decide what to vote, I just want like, hey, summarize me pros and cons, right? And I actually can summarize it. And if I want more information, I can see where that information is coming from and dig in deeper. Right. So like actually creating a set of tools that kind of allow to have kind of govern, like do the decision making, governance, capital allocation, like easier for kind of existing members. But then over time, making that more and more kind of process automated with decision making by AI. So that's kind of, again, a long-term vision, but like there's a very specific milestones of like tooling that we can deliver now mm-hmm. That can be starting to make interesting progress. We also had at NearCon, actually one of the projects did build like a first prototype of this where ChatGPT has been proven through SGX into a DAO. And so DAO can actually start making decisions based on ChatGPT output. So like we can see like this piece is coming together now to kind of start experimenting with this.
That's so interesting. I mean, definitely a tool that can summarize governance forums will be extremely useful. I mean, I just like from covering this stuff, you know, it definitely gets tricky to follow, you know, all the comments and all the proposals and all of that. So I think that's a great start. And then by having this like AI agent vote for a token holder, would the idea be, I know this is kind of long ways off, but is the idea that there would be like a robot that kind of learns from your voting history or on-chain history and kind of can guess where, like what your interests are? Is that the idea?
Well, I mean, you can have a conversation with it, right? To mm-hmm. kind of, again, like there's like different parts, right? There can be part that represents you, which like builds your interests and your kind of what you believe about it. And then there can be a global model that is just trying to optimize kind of overall, you know, success of the ecosystem, right? Which mm-hmm. is trying to propose things that are kind of going to push toward that. So you can have different pieces kind of fitting together into overall system. But yeah, I mean, we'll be working kind of some of the research we're going to be putting out on this in coming months. And so I guess to stay tuned for that, right? Yeah, you were asking what to look forward.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that as well. Sounds super interesting. And it's something that we've been exploring at the Defiant, this kind of intersection between crypto and AI. Like, is it real? Is it just fluff? Like, are people just putting two like buzzwords together? But yeah, I mean, it looks like, yeah, there might be some fluff there, but there's also some actual you know, utility that can come out of that. Ilya, it was so great to have you on the Defiant podcast. Thank you so much for joining. We'll be looking forward to all of these AI and account aggregation and other things coming from Near.
Sounds good. Thank you. And looking forward to update when all of this is live and people are using it.